This episode of the Citadel Cafe is brought to you by listeners like you. Visit patreon.com/thecitadelcafe to find out how you can become a patron and help make this show possible. This is the Citadel Cafe, episode number 278 for Wednesday, July 25th, 2018. My name is Joel Duggan, and the Citadel Cafe is where my friends and I hang out to talk about the geeky stuff that we are into. It has been a while. Summer scheduling is hard, it turns out, but tonight would be normally when I record the podcast, but instead it's this afternoon, and that is when Megan Townsend is joining me. You can follow her at Nerdasmic across all the socials. Welcome back from China, Megan.
Hi, thank you so much.
You brought the weather with you.
I did. Oh boy, did I ever.
And yes, Brockett, I'm breaking the rules and I don't care. 100% humidity makes me a cranky SOB.
Oh my God. Like I stepped off the plane in China and I was like, I have never experienced humidity of this caliber ever before in my entire 27 years of existence. Mm-hmm. And then today happens and I'm like, I stand corrected. I've been proven very, very wrong.
So, yeah, Mother Earth was like, hold my beer.
Exactly. No, exactly. Exactly that. Oh, man. It is hot today. It is, I don't ever remember it being this hot in Canada. I mean, I know, like, Canada, we do have, yeah, like, summer.
Yeah.
Contrary to what some people think, that we all live in igloos, but
yeah.
It is warm. It is a warm, warm day.
I find people that are not used to it when they get to the Maritimes, they forget that, like, Nova Scotia is a peninsula. Like, it is 90% surrounded by water. So it can get,
yeah,
really foggy and really humid. I was out for a jog, mm-hmm, this morning at 6 o'clock in the morning. Sunrise was 5:53 a.m., just to kind of give people context. And so the sun has barely come up. It's light out, but only because there's so much fog with the sunlight bouncing around. And at that time, it was 22 degrees with a humidex of 28. And there's no sunshine. Like, it was lovely at that point. I say lovely. It was humid, but it was still temperate. Like, it felt,
yeah.
I remember being in Florida when I was younger and being in a humid, humid environment like that. And I just remember just thinking, you feel far from home. Like, when you step outside, you know, as a 10-year-old in Disney World and it's 96 degrees, 88% humidity, you just realize this is not Nova Scotia. Like, this is not Canada. It feels dramatically, yeah, different. And that's what, yeah, it feels like around here right now, is that you step outside and, yeah, it does not feel like home. It feels like you're in a different part of the continent. It's like when I was in Utah, yeah, last summer. It was hot as blazes, but the difference was that it was zero humidity. It was like 2%.
Yes.
And so you step out onto the street or the tarmac or something when you get near the airport, and it's just, you know, you could fry eggs literally on the sidewalk, and it's
yeah,
crazy. And again, you feel very far from home. You're like, oh wow, yeah, I'm in a different place now, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But speaking of different, how long were you in China?
I was only there for 2 weeks. A lot of people were confused and thought I was going for 2 months. Oh. And I'm pretty sure, like, a lot of people were just like, so you're going to be gone for a couple months. I'm like, no, I'm only going for 2 weeks. But a lot of people, like a bunch of people at work, a bunch of friends that I was seeing before I left. And when I came back, they're like, oh, you're back already. And I was like, yeah, I was only going for 2 weeks. They're like, oh, I thought you were going for a lot longer.
Hmm.
So I don't know if I, like, miscommunicated how long it was going for, but it was 2 weeks.
Well, it's a big trip. I think a lot of people total that go usually go for at least, you know, a month or two. Like, if you're going to go that far.
Yeah.
It's a long, yeah, way to go. I would imagine even 2 weeks, you probably didn't have much time to shake off the jet lag.
No, I did actually. Honestly, like, working at the jet lag over there was a lot easier than coming home.
Hmm.
I would think I was jet lagged after I got home for probably about a week, trying to sort out my sleeping schedule again. That,
wow,
was the hardest part. Because I, yeah, think you're, for some reason, it's easier for me to adjust when I go somewhere else. Because you cross the international date line, and I left Canada at like noon. No, I left at like two or four in the afternoon in Canada, and then I arrived technically at 2 or 4 in the afternoon in China, because it's an exact 12-hour difference.
Okay, yeah.
And you cross the international Dateline. So I essentially went back a day. So I, like, the same time I left Canada was the same time I arrived in China, even though it was a 12-hour flight, which is really weird. When you think of the
on the same on the same it, on the same date.
Technically, yes, because I think it would be the next day.
The next day,
yeah. The next day, yeah. So essentially, I lost a day. Is what happened.
Yeah,
I think. Yeah, time shenanigans. Basically, Doctor Who.
There was no. I was gonna say there's no TARDIS on board. Like you just.
No. But it was really interesting. The whole trip itself. It was a very fast paced trip, so I don't feel like I was able to. Like all the tours that we had. So we landed in Beijing and it was with a school trip. So I went as a language exchange with some people from my university. So it was through a government run project, like program called the Confucius Institute. And that's the Confucius Institute of China, which is like their educational institution, like their educational government essentially. And they have a lot of money. So they essentially want a lot of people to come into China. And they have like a full ride scholarship, all paid for thing. So the reason I went is that I didn't have to pay for anything. I had to pay for my flight in and out of the country and my travel visa, and that was it. Everything else while I was there was all covered by the Chinese government, which was kind of nice.
That's cool.
Yeah. So we stayed at like a relatively nice hotel. It wasn't like 5 stars or anything, but it was in a really interesting street in downtown Beijing. So we were there for 2 days. To do some tours. We did, you know, Great Wall, we did Forbidden City, like all the historical landmarks and things. And then we flew from Beijing down to the south of China in a city called Xiamen. And Xiamen is an international university port. It's essentially like the Dalhousie of China.
Okay.
In the sense that they get a lot of international students down that way. And so we were living on, there's 3 university campuses for Xiamen University, and we were living on the biggest one in the country. And I actually found out that a friend of mine graduated from that university. I didn't realize. I took a picture of one of the buildings that I was in. She's like, "You're at my university." And I was like, "Oh my gosh, what a small world." It really is.
Mm-hmm.
But it was really, really interesting. We had like classes. So we had like actual language classes. So I feel like I have a bit more of decent survival Chinese now. Like I can actually ask questions in Chinese about food and like where to find places, and because I have a lot of food allergies, so I needed to make sure that there were nothing that I, you know, that I was going to consume that would possibly make me sick.
Right.
So that was one of the first things that we were taught with our teacher. And the teacher who actually taught us in China has recently come back to teach at one of the universities here in Halifax as well. So
oh,
it's really interesting. And he was really excited to teach us because he was coming to Halifax and he found out we were all from Halifax. He was very baffled that bikes were not really a thing in Halifax. Bike culture in China is huge. Like everyone has a bike. And in Beijing, there's like bikes that are littered on the side of the road. Like it just looks like there's a bunch of abandoned bikes everywhere. But they have this really interesting like bike rental program where you just abandon a bike essentially. But every bike has a barcode on it and they use their phone for everything. It's a very phone heavy country.
Yeah.
So they use an application called WeChat. So they essentially just scan the bike. You pay for how long you're going to use it for, or you just put in your credit card information, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And then you ride the bike for however long you want to ride it. And then you just leave it when you're done. And then someone else can come pick it up later. So the whole side of the road is just covered in all these bikes, which is really interesting.
I've been listening to tech news shows lately, and there's a lot of experimental programs like that happening in the States. I don't know if there's anything happening in Canada. If it would be, it'd be in Toronto or Vancouver or flatter cities than Halifax. Like, for example,
Calgary.
I don't think it's very big in San Francisco in the U.S. If it is, it's probably only in the flat parts. One of the anecdotes that I picked up from the show was that high schoolers are making some decent part-time money by going around and collecting the bikes after school that are just abandoned and putting them back in the kiosk / like depository areas that they're supposed to be in.
Wow.
Because same idea, you know, you scan the barcode, you're not renting it, you're calling it you're a retriever or it's a retrieval or something, and you're just paid on how many you can return I mean, imagine like you're walking home from school and you're just like, well, I'll take a detour through downtown and I'll return a bunch of bikes that I see and make a couple bucks along the way. Like, I mean, that's a perfect,
Yeah.
for somebody that's, especially if you're too young. I guess in the States you probably would have to be 16 because there probably have to be like a social insurance number. But like, you're too young to have like a really good job at like, serving at a bar where you have to be 21 or like to get
Yeah.
decent money, for a part-time job as a kid. So I thought that that would be, I thought that was a really interesting anecdote. So now are these your pedal bikes? These aren't like mopeds or scooters.
No, yeah, they're all pedal bikes. Their bikes are I think they're a little bit more electrical though, so there's not a lot of, at least not the ones that I saw anyway, but I know they have a lot of electric bikes. They're really big in Japan and Taiwan as well, so they have like they look like a normal pedal bike, but they actually have a little motor in them too to make it
Okay.
easier to pedal.
Right.
So it just kind of like maintains your speed, so you're not like huffing and puffing and your legs are screaming as you're trying to climb up a hill, essentially, right, on a bike.
Yeah,
So
yeah.
it just makes things a little bit easier.
Especially when it's warm.
Yes. Oh my God. Like the south of China was way worse than Beijing. We were pretty fortunate actually when we were in Beijing because the first day we got there, we could really feel the smog. It's a really smoggy city. Very. They actually have like a smog dex where they like say, okay, smog levels are at this today. And then you'll see a lot of people walk around like the paper masks, which I don't think actually do anything because it's literally just a paper mask. So I don't know if it actually protects a little smog, but it makes a lot of people feel better. So, but yeah, no, like it was really, really smoggy. But then it rained the second day we were there while we were touring the Forbidden City. And then when we went to the Great Wall, we were a little bit outside of the city. So it was still a little smoggy, but not as much. And the rain had kind of cleared out some of the smog anyway. I guess it's a lot better now than it was before, though. Like it was super bad like 10 years ago. But the south of China was really nice. You could actually see the sky. You could actually see no stars, which was kind of a bummer. But it was really, really hot, and everyone had a bike. Like we almost had to rent bikes while we were on the campus because we were living on the university campus for 10 days, where we did our classes and we would eat at the cafeteria and stuff. So we actually got to meet a lot of students who were there, like doing summer courses, and kind of just see how campus life was. And it was already really crowded as it was, and I had to remind myself, this is summer. This isn't like regular class time. This isn't like regular September schedule. Like and it was already really crowded. So, but it was really interesting. The food was really good. Almost, I don't think I'd ever complain about too much food, but there was too much food. Like there was a lot of food, and I think I read somewhere it's a thing that like the Chinese will give you a lot of food, and if you don't finish your plate, it's a good thing because it's like you've fed me more than enough, and it's a good sign to the host, and
You're
that's kind
leaving
of a weird
satisfied,
thing.
like I'm so satisfied I can't eat another
Yes,
bite, sort of thing. Yeah.
exactly. So, but I feel really bad like leaving that much food because
North
it's
American mentality is just
guaranteed.
like, yeah,
Yeah,
you get in trouble when you
guaranteed I'm
don't
gonna
fit. You
throw it
don't get
away.
dessert when you don't finish your meal here in
Exactly,
Canada, right?
exactly. And I was honestly too full for it. And dessert's not really a huge thing over
No,
there either.
I
Like
know it's
people will
not,
have
but I was
like
like just talking
tea
about
and
here,
stuff,
yeah.
but yeah. But I think the weird thing for me, like I don't really drink like pop or soda or anything. I'm not really much of an alcohol drinker, but really the only options for beverages with our meals were Sprite, Coke, and beer. That was
Really?
it. Like drinking water, like cold water, is not really a thing over there, which I thought was really strange. You can't drink the tap water, so you have to bring bottles of water with you everywhere. And at any given time, I had like four or five water bottles on me because I drink water like a fish. Like
Yeah.
I have like a huge thing of water with me right now as we speak. And that was like tap water, absolutely not. You will poison yourself. It doesn't matter where you are in China, you cannot drink the tap water. And I'm sure that even like the local residents of China don't drink the tap water. I don't know if it's like, some places like don't drink the water because like physiology is different. They have different bacteria. I don't really think
Right.
it's just that. I just think the
No,
water is
just
so contaminated in China that you can't actually drink it at
it
all.
would make
So
sense, yeah.
yeah, so you have a lot of like water dispensaries, but they never have cold water dispensaries. It's always warm water. Because warm water and it, like they think it's better for your system, it's better for your body. It's like a big thing. It's like you should drink more hot water. It's gonna make you feel better. But when it's a hot day and you're like literally standing outside for 5 minutes and just sweating just from standing there, it's like I don't want hot water. I want cold water. I just want to be plunged in a bucket of ice right now. Like, it was ridiculous.
Well, I mean, and that's, so, and there is an issue. Like, if you are experiencing, if you've got, I mean, obviously not if you're just hot, but like if you're getting close to heat stroke, cold water is bad. Like, you can put your body into shock and you'll end up passing out. But when I was hiking in Utah last year, this is coming up a lot because it's the last time that I left the country. Last time I was in a warm climate, and also it was specifically a year ago this month. So I've been, Facebook has been reminding me, hey, you were doing this last year. It's like, yeah, that's right. I was. when you're out for a 2 to 3 hour hike or more in 104 degrees and you have cold water that you brought with you, doesn't stay cold for very long. Specifically, the accessible refillable container that's hanging on the front, you know, of your backpack. The stuff in your backpack is okay, but the thing on the front, like when you're sipping like every couple minutes, what you're sipping is not hot water, but it is warm. Like it's really warm. Yeah. And it takes a bit to get used to, but I mean, like at that point, like I said, with 2% humidity, you're so thirsty you don't care. You know, like it, wet is fine at, you know, at that point, you're just like, it would be nice if it was cold, but you know, like, just, well, practically, like, you'd be, there's no way to keep it cold. Like, it would be cold for 3 minutes, you know, like it just, it, you know, there's no way to do it. The only way I could think of is like, if you had your water bottles in the car frozen when you got to the hike in the morning, they would stay cold for a little while, but not very long.
Yeah.
Then you get the problem of condensation, like in your backpack or like dripping, you know, on the front, like on the one that's clipped on you, it wouldn't be so bad because it would just evaporate. But, in your backpack, it wouldn't work because everything would get wet.
Yep. Yeah. Which is, not fun. I had even like without having super, super ice cold water bottles, there was still a lot of condensation.
Yeah.
Sorry, go ahead.
I was going to say, well, what, before we move on from food, like, so what kind of stuff were you getting? I mean, I know it's obviously different than, you know, what we're used to around here when people say, you know, quote unquote Chinese food.
Honestly, like, okay. So there's a restaurant in Dartmouth called Fans.
Yep.
Like Fans Chinese Cuisine. Have you been there?
Yep. I've been there. It was a while ago.
That's probably the closest to authentic Chinese food that I've ever had anywhere else outside of Chinese. That, like, that's a pretty good idea of what it's going to be like.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of, it's the way the Chinese people eat, everyone kind of shares from the same dishes. So you have everything in the middle on like a big glass Lazy Susan.
Yeah.
All the tables are always round.
Yep.
And everyone just kind of picks what they want off of the dishes and puts them on their own plate. And that's just kind of how they do it.
Mm-hmm.
I tried chicken feet. That was a weird experience. they taste really good, but they're really slimy. So I wouldn't have them again. I had it one time to be adventurous and I was like, that's it. That's enough.
Yeah. Say that
I'm pretty
you did
sure
it.
I had. Yeah. Just to say that I did it. It was all right.
There's a lot of fish.
I like food. I like trying new food. Lots of fish. Actually, and they did warn us not to eat a lot of fish. Especially in Beijing. When we were in the south of China, we made sure to eat a lot of fish because it's a coastal city.
Oh,
they're right by the
yeah.
ocean. So they have, fresh. It's like almost like a maritime city. Yeah, it's all fresh stuff. But they don't know, you don't know if the fish you're getting in places like Beijing is river fish or if it's ocean fish.
Mm.
And you want to eat the ocean fish because the river fish is chock full of mercury. So just to keep yourself safe, they suggested don't eat a lot of the fish. So I didn't have a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
And one of my friends just didn't want to touch it at all just to make sure. But it was a lot of pork, a lot of chicken, a lot of beef, so much rice. And actually, I really like the rice. Like, I don't know, the rice tastes different. It's almost sweeter.
Mm.
Like here in North America, we usually put soy sauce on our rice. So they don't add anything to it at all. And it almost tastes better. Like it's really, they have really, really good rice.
It's funny, I don't put anything on my rice either. Maybe a little bit of ground pepper, but that's it.
Really? Oh yeah, not even that. Like you don't even need to put anything on it.
Wow.
But like a lot of the food we had was like dependent on where we were. So the first day, like we had breakfast in the hotel. We eat a lot of cake for breakfast, which feels really weird. I think I don't know if it was a continental style. So they had like a lot of authentic Chinese things like steamed buns and pork buns. And they had like hard-boiled eggs and things and fried eggs and a lot of fruit, a lot of watermelon. We had so much watermelon and it was really good watermelon all the time. But I don't know if it was like they're like, oh, the North Americans are here. Let's give them carbs. And it was all cake. I was like, okay. It was just kind of funny. It was really funny. One really great moment we had, we went to try duck, like Peking duck, which is really, really good. Duck is delightful, especially if it's like the Beijing style duck. It's a little more oily than chicken, but it tastes like a very oily chicken, but it's really, really delicious. It's really good. But we had, it was like 15 of us total. One of us was a teacher. So she was a teacher who works at St. Mary's, who was basically organizing the entire trip. And she is Chinese. She speaks Chinese, but she lives in Canada with her husband. So she was with us, and I was sitting next to her as we walked into the restaurant to go eat duck. And then she starts cracking up and like laughing really, really hard. And I was like, what's the matter? He's like, the guy who saw us coming in was basically just like, the white people are here, prepare the forks. And it was just a really, really... funny thing. She's like, it wasn't exactly like that, but that's basically what he said. So prepare the forks. But all of us use chopsticks, so all of us were like, no, we're good. We don't need forks. We can all use chopsticks. And everyone was really surprised and very baffled that we could use chopsticks. But
yeah,
it's funny. Great. One of the weird things that I noticed though is that there's a lack of privacy in China. Like there's a lack of personal space, especially if you're a foreigner, and it's like I'm very obviously white with blue eyes. A foreigner. And the number of people who would come up and just take your photo without asking you permission. Now there was a lot of really nice people who would come up and be like, may I take a photo with you? And we were like, yeah, sure, no problem. Like, yeah, that was great. But you'd get people who'd walk by you and like snap a photo in your face and then kind of take off, or people who would like film you from like far away.
Wow.
Like, and it was obviously like they were filming you. Like they had their phone out, and as you were walking, like you would kind of glance at them and they'd be following you as you were walking. And it was like, okay, all right. I mean, it was fine. Like on one hand, I was like, I get it. And before I left, I was warned about that. Like a bunch of other friends would come. Yeah. Like I have a friend who's like blonde. Like her hair is so blonde, it looks white. That's just her natural color. And she was like, people may come up and ask to take photos with you, they'll video you. Some people may even come up and just touch your hair without asking you permission. And weird. She had that happen to her because her hair is so white. And so I wasn't really bothered by it too much. Like I was expecting that. I'm like, you know what? I don't
look
like anyone.
You're mentally prepared for it, yeah.
Yeah. We had one girl, she's really nice, but she was getting very like aggressive and a little bit annoyed about the fact that people were staring at her. And she was blonde, blue eyes. And I was like, you have to understand, like, if you are going to a foreign country where you don't look like anyone there, people are going to stare at you.
Oh yeah.
Well, it's like they don't see a lot of foreigners. Like they don't have a concept of racism. Like racism isn't really a thing over in Asia. They don't understand that there's like a divide, I guess. Like in North America, we're very, very aware of racism.
Yeah.
Europe, we're very aware of racism, but that's not something that's really there. So if you look different, they're going to stare at you because like, oh. But the number of people who'd come up and say like, oh my gosh, you're so beautiful. Like, cause like, they're not used to seeing people with blue eyes. So like we've had people who'd come up and try and say hello. And we spoke enough Chinese to understand that they were being like, oh my gosh, they're so pretty. But it was this constant thing, like me and a group of my, you know, female friends that we'd go walking together. We'd have so many people like catcalling us, thinking that we couldn't understand, and we'd reply back in Chinese and be like, oh, okay.
Nice.
But it was good. Like it was never like bad cat calls. It was just like, you know, like, you know, hey, you're hot. Kind of like,
nothing lewd, like, but you know, they're
reply back.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it often baffled them, but yeah, no, it was really interesting. I think I felt very much out of my comfort zone, but I think I really liked that because you're kind of you have to learn how to be out of your comfort zone in a place like China.
Yeah,
well, it's so different.
And that's the sign of a good cultural experience too. Like, I mean, when you go to the US, you may be out of your comfort zone in terms of the geography, like lost in a big city or the population is a little bit different. But like when you're talking to people, you're just fine. Like they understand the language, you know, culture is a little bit different, but it's really very, you know, the same North American boiling pot. But I remember years ago when I was in St. Lucia, same idea. I was walking through the market and kind of going like, I kind of feel like I'm being watched. And it dawned on me later. It's like, oh, it's because I'm the only white guy here. Like, because it's St. Lucia. It's an African French, you know, population. Well, there's a lot of Caribbean and a lot of, you know, Southern and Caribbean and tropical populations, but everybody is dark skinned, like from very, very dark to like what you think of like the average, you know, African American.
Yeah.
So you, as a white Canadian, are just like a beacon walking down the
Yeah,
street.
stand right out.
And at home, you don't get
Stand
stared
right
at,
out.
right? So you're just kind of like,
Yeah.
why is everybody looking at me? Like, do I got something on my face? Like, what is the shirt weird? Like, what's going
Yeah.
on? And the people that we were with, who were locals, and said, oh, no, you don't understand. Like, you scream tourist, and there's nothing you can do about it. It's not what you're wearing or
Yeah.
how you're walking or how you're talking. Everybody here speaks English. Like, a lot of them were bilingual, right? So you could always communicate with people, but man, they just looked at you and go,
Yeah.
you are from away.
Yeah, you are from away, far
Because I
away.
didn't even have a tan, right? Like I went down somewhere in like November or something. So like your what little summer tan you have from Nova Scotia is gone by that
Right.
point, right?
Right.
So
And
yeah,
I don't tan at all. Like, I'm
yeah.
burnt, and what I have right now that can be considered a tan is like the remnants of my crispy skin. Like, it's like it doesn't exist anymore. So like,
Yeah.
so I was, yeah, very, very obviously was like, you know, very, very out, like
Yeah.
a fish out of water.
Yeah. So,
But it
did you
has
take a
kind
lot
of.
of pictures? I mean, people were taking pictures of you, but like, did you take photos? Did you take some videos?
I took a lot of videos. I took a lot of videos. Almost 700 of them.
Holy crap.
And I'm actually compiling all of them into a travel vlog. So I actually have my first one up on my YouTube channel right now.
Oh, nice.
Just kind of like from getting to from like leaving Toronto, going to Beijing, and their first couple of days of experience and kind of meeting up with a lot of our people. But our my next couple of videos will be a combination of vlog and like, okay, history, and here's some other things. I might find some stock photos. Because it was so fast paced, I wasn't able to get the quality of shots that I wanted to, which I'm a little bit bummed about. I have yet to go through all of them and really, really edit and figure out like what's going to work and what's not. But I think I'm really excited about my vlog for the Forbidden City because we saw a lot of really interesting things and we found ourselves in like, I don't know if we were supposed to be there. It was like a really like side area of the Forbidden City. Like I don't really know if you know much about it, but it's basically like the original Emperor's palace.
Oh,
It's been
cool.
around for thousands of years. The whole thing is made out of wood. You can't bring lighters in there because if you did, the whole thing would go up in flames because it's so old.
Right.
And only made of wood, and paint, essentially. But the history around it is really interesting. So we learned a lot of history. So I'm going to add that history, information to the video that I put out eventually. But we found this area where it's like a little alcove that I think the Empress used to hang out in. But like they never actually spent any time together, the Empress and the Emperor. I think I learned they spent one night together, which was their wedding night. And then because the Emperor was usually like he was such a kill target because everyone wanted to kill the Emperor. He slept in a different room every single night with a different concubine. That's the history of China, essentially, in a nutshell. But it was really interesting. And apparently, if you wanted to sleep in a different room in the Forbidden City every single night from the day you were born, you would be 27 by the time you slept in the last room.
Wow.
And there's so many rooms in there, so many rooms, and we only saw like a fraction of that place.
That's
It's
crazy.
huge, like, and it's like I don't even think the video really does it justice and how big it
Yeah.
is. Same with the Great Wall. The Great Wall, like it, like you're like in your brain, you're like, yeah, it's big, it's big, it's a big structure. And then you see it, you're like, oh shit, it's big. It's really, really big,
Yeah.
and it's steep. It was like made by long-legged stilt people, I'm convinced. Like it was like, man, I had a hard time getting up that thing. It was ridiculous,
Oh yeah,
but it was
like
good.
I when I've whenever I've encountered older staircases, they're the new standard for
Pretty
staircases is very
tall.
different. They're very
Yes.
steep. It's like the stairs are like
Yeah.
a 45 degree angle. Like it is
Yeah.
up or
Oh,
down.
this was like a 60-degree angle, the
Yeah.
Great Wall of China. It was like,
Wow.
yeah, it was, yeah. So I'm glad I found a different path to get down because like I'm like if I lose one step, I'm rolling down the
Oh
side.
yeah.
Like it was very steep. And I get really bad vertigo. I'm a little bit afraid of heights, so I didn't go up as far as I'd like to, but I went up far enough for myself to get a good to feel like I had climbed enough. But like it was a lot of huffing and puffing. Like it was, I mean, I thought I was in pretty decent shape. Like I went on a lot of walks and like I climbed a lot of, you know, I kind of trained, for lack of a better word, on my way up. And I was like, oh no, there's no preparing you for that one. It's a
It's
very, very
and
large
especially if you're in
structure.
a different environment. I mean, like it's high humidity, it's hotter than
Yes.
normal,
More smoggy.
smog
Yeah.
levels. I mean, for me, it was elevation. You know, like I'm in decent shape, but you know, some of the things, some of the hikes that I did in Utah were on top of mountains. And it's like, oh, why am I having trouble? I'm at 12,000 feet. You know, I'm used to being at sea level, which is like 10 feet. You know, so it's a lot different. Well, that's awesome. And people can check that out at youtube.com/nerdasmic when you get that those videos up, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Yes. Very, very cool. I'm looking forward to it. Yeah.
I've went up now. There'll probably be about 7 or 8, maybe more. So I'm just trying to go through them now, edit them, structure them a little bit nicer so that they're easy to follow. The first one was kind of just like, just got to get some stuff out there. And it's very haphazard, and a little bit of like initial culture shock things and like initial food things and stuff. But like crossing the road, I'm going to have a full blog about how to cross the road in China.
If you're on the wrong side of the street, too bad, just keep on going.
Even with crosswalks, like there are specific crosswalks for crossing, they have traffic lights, there are people, like traffic people there to hold the cars back, and even if you're walking, there's slow cars trying to squeak through the intersection to get to where they're trying to go. Like it is definitely not a pedestrian first place. We watched a really hilarious video in class about how, like it was basically an educational instructional video about if you're coming to North America, here's how you drive on the road. So it was like a guy stopping at a stop sign, and the guy was saying, like, it was in Chinese, but there were subtitles. He was like, all right, so this guy is stopping at a stop sign because people are crossing. This is normal here, so I'm not going to honk my horn at him. And it was a serious video. It was like, how you drive in North America. You don't honk your horn at people if they stopped because they're usually letting pedestrians cross first. This is normal here. And it was like, I lost it. It was really funny. But it's scary to cross the road. It's like, and everyone's honking horns, and it's really, really loud. And
wow.
But it's really interesting. If anyone gets a chance to go, it's really worth going. I don't know if I would ever go back, at least not to the places I went already. I think I'd like to experience other places.
Yeah.
I'd really like to go to Taiwan. But
yeah, Asia for me, the appeal is mostly the food and the history. Being in a civilization that is that old, you know, because all the places I've traveled are relatively young, like 200 years old maybe. And like, you know, it's really not that big of a deal in terms of history. I haven't yet been to Europe where you can go into, you know, cities and towns that are, you know, a lot older. Or into then you get into like, you know, places in Asia and other, you know, other countries that are even older than that. So yeah, it's definitely on my list. But speaking of editing videos, actually, that's what I've been up to quite a bit lately. I finally got off my butt and started editing together some Minecraft videos because last week, Minecraft 1.13 was released on Wednesday, July 8th, and it is called the Update Aquatic, and it changed a lot about Minecraft. Everybody, you kind of know it's coming. You see the videos, you see the update lists, you see the overall, you know, the general overview of what's changes and what's new and blah, blah, blah. But you don't really quite realize just how different the game feels with all these changes implemented at once, you know, on your world that you've been playing. So for the people that are familiar, the Citadel has a Minecraft server, and some friends of mine, including Megan, are all on there. And we did not reset the server. A lot of places to get advantage of seeing the new content have reset their worlds down to square one and have started with a new update aquatic world. We simply updated the existing world. Reason why is because there's not that many of us on the server, and even fewer of us are what I would call power players, and we haven't really adventured that far. You know, so to get new content, we really only had to travel a couple hundred blocks, like 800, like less than 1,000. You know, to see some new ocean stuff.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, I did a stream on Sunday after I recorded the video, and then after that, Alistair and I were hanging out on the server, and we went up towards his castle, and not too far from there, we were able to find some new ocean content. So the way that it works is essentially, all of the chunks that have been loaded in our previous world are as is. If the chunk has not been loaded though, then it will load as if it's a new 1.13 chunk, including all the different kelp and, you know, seagrass and underwater stuff and potentially the way that new biomes are generated, et cetera, et cetera. But the mechanics, the blocks, the gameplay, the mobs, all of the other content will still appear in our existing development. So, for example, the little community we've got going on called Dartmouth Meadows, in the rivers, there's now salmon, and there are phantoms that come out when you don't sleep at night. And so there's all kinds of really cool stuff that's happening in and around the servers. So I decided that it was a good opportunity to post a Let's Play video. And I did my first one on, I think I posted it on Saturday. And so essentially what I did was I walked around and checked out the changes, and it broke a bunch of farms because water mechanics are different. And so I had to go and kind of poke around and do some stuff there. But it was a lot of fun. And I put it up on my YouTube channel, which is just youtube.com/JoelGetDuggan. And you can view it there. And then on Sunday, I did a stream where I was fixing some of the things that were taking longer, like the villager breeder. I didn't get a chance to tackle the iron farm yet, but that's the kind of stuff that I've been doing. But I've been really enjoying editing the video. I've learned quite a lot about not only just editing video and doing Premiere and posting to YouTube and stuff like that, but also I've started creating a bunch of custom texture packs for Minecraft. Mm. So the server right now is using just the default 1.13 release, but Mojang has put out a beta pack of textures and what's the new Minecraft is going to look like. And so that pack is available. And what I did was I updated the naming of that pack to match the 1.13 naming convention that came out. So it works on the server. And Okay. Yeah, I've been really enjoying it. So what I'm doing right now with the community is I've put together a texture pack of very small changes. Like, it's not like we're getting new blocks or new colors or anything like that. It's just like, well, here's what Mojang is saying is what Minecraft is going to look like. And then here's a bunch of the 1.13 new blocks that came out. So that's all vanilla. I've made a custom hay bale and a couple things like that. These things already exist in the game. It's just that the update that Mojang put out was not complete. So the hay, the wheat, would have one color. And then the hay bale, which is supposed to be made out of wheat, that's how you make it in the game, would be a completely different color. And one was this really pretty golden beige, you know, this beautiful new wheat color texture that they have. And then the hay bale is snot yellow. Like, it is gross.
It's not nice.
No, it's not a nice block. It's not usable if you have any kind of artistic taste. And being an artist, I like to think I have some. So I have been learning JavaScript and some of the ways that Minecraft is actually put together. And it's been really cool to kind of dig in under the hood and kind of come up with my own blocks. I've put together some custom things. Like, I put side textures on farmland. So that looks better from the side now. I can't remember what else I did. I retextured my weapons and things like that. Because it's basically just like, hey, you know what looks really stupid? That blue diamond sword. If it's a diamond sword, shouldn't it be mostly like white and silver? Like, that would make more sense. So I've just kind of gone in there, you know, with my Photoshop skills and kind of like learned what Minecraft needs and just kind of done it. And it's been a really cool challenge to get into some pixel art, because it's not normally something I'm drawn to, but the last year of playing Minecraft has kind of put me into a more accepting mindset when it comes to pixel art. And also some of the challenges that, you know, when you're dealing with a 16 by 16 pixel block in terms of the texture, like, how can you make it actually look good? Like, how do you do a gradient when you can't actually do a gradient? Like, how do you shade when you're just using pixels and stippling and stuff? Anyway, it's been a ton of fun. So I wanted to point people towards the Citadel episode 1, Fixing Farms. It's on YouTube right now. And if you like that, it's a short video. It's like 30 minutes. And if you want to stick around and check out the longer Twitch stream that I posted, that's like 2 hours. Or you can usually join me live on weekends. It's twitch.tv/JoelGetDuggan. And it's usually Sundays, but it can be Saturdays. It depends on what day I have the larger chunk of time to sit down and stream. These days, it also depends on the weather. If it's nice out, I tend not to play video games. But if it's raining like it was this past weekend, I was like, this is perfect. Minecraft came out on Wednesday. I had to work the rest of the week. And then Saturday, Sunday, it was just miserable rainy weather the whole weekend. So I was like, awesome. I do not feel bad about being inside, taking it easy and playing some Minecraft. But we've been really enjoying that. And if you'd like to hear more about that, there's a couple different ways you can do it. Some of the latest Citadel Cafe episodes where Pixel Riffs has been a guest, Johnny, him and I get into Minecraft quite a bit. There's also usually barista cuts that are exclusive to our patrons. So if you're supporting the show directly, you get like an extra half an hour or an hour of Minecraft talk. Johnny and I will have like a general conversation. We'll touch on some basics about Minecraft or some of the fun things that we're excited about. And then we'll move on to a regular Citadel Cafe show. When we get together, we just kind of nerd out about Minecraft. So we separate that show out so that, because I know not everybody that listens to the Citadel Cafe is a Minecraft player. So that is available for patrons up on Patreon. And as a little teaser, we don't have anything sorted quite yet, but Johnny and I have already discussed and are working on creating a Minecraft podcast. So you will probably hear less Minecraft on the Citadel Cafe because I'll be focusing all that into its own podcast. I think the way that it's kind of taken over my hobby time, I think it's probably best to put it in its own show because I don't necessarily know how many people are interested that listen to this little cafe. I mean, I know there's six or eight of them that are all on the server with me that are probably okay with it. But Johnny and I are going to try and do that. And he is Pixel Riffs on YouTube. That's PIXLRIFFS if you want to check out what he's doing. And he's doing a tutorial series right now about getting started in Minecraft, kind of with the release of 1.13. There's a lot of new players that come to the game. So he's doing a, hey, so you've decided to try this Minecraft thing out. Well, here's how to check it out. And that could be for kids and it could also be for parents. Like it could be like, well, my kid's been playing this for 2 years. I kind of want to try it and see what it's all about. Well, his series would be perfect because he's an adult. Like he doesn't gear his content for kids. It's kid friendly, like it's PG, but his sense of humor is that of a, you know, mid-30s YouTuber, like, you know, so you're going to get, it's all clean, but you're going to get clever stuff. There's no loud dubstep, like some 17-year-old shouting at you, you know, about Minecraft. It's very chill. He's a very creative guy. He's also a very good video editor, and so his stuff has got a lot of really good content. So I wanted to give Johnny a shout-out here on the show as well. That's really all that I've been doing kind of like in my downtime. But we would be remiss if we did not touch on San Diego Comic-Con that just happened over the last week. And there's been a bunch of trailers that came out. Yeah, I mean, the vitriol is ready to go here. So just to kick people off, if you want to go and watch these before we talk about them, we may not get to all of them right now, but the ones that I flagged for worthy of discussion, good or bad, is the Titans trailer from DC, the Young Justice Outsiders trailer from DC, the Aquaman trailer from DC, noticing a theme here, and the Shazam trailer from DC. Basically, I was out hunting for, is DC on the road to redemption or not? It's still a toss-up, would be my initial kind of broad strokes reply to that. What do you want to start with? What has you just ready to chat?
We should just get the Titans trailer out of the way.
Absolutely. Absolutely. it was terrible. It was absolute garbage. It's as if DC does not understand the content that they have.
I feel like they're trying to make it too similar to Arrow. Like, I would say Arrow as part of, like, the DC-verse. Like, Arrow is a pretty gritty show anyway. And it's a CW show. Like, it's, you know, they've made it pretty gritty. I don't really watch it personally. Like, Arrow is not really I don't dislike them, but it's just not my cup of tea. But, like it's... I think I know why DC's trying to go for, like, this darker kind of feel. Because I think people often criticize DC for having such colorful, bright characters, whereas Marvel is a little bit more, I think, poignant in terms of subject matter. Like, you know, you get the X-Men with, like, mutants, which is a, you know, synonym for racism, or you know, you get, you know, all these other things. So, like, I think they're trying to make their characters a bit more serious, but Titans does not do that well. And I'm just really sad about what's going on with Titans, like Teen Titans in general, because like it's just been taking a steady decline of crap since the original Teen Titans cartoon was switched over to Teen Titans Go.
Yeah.
It's just become this mess of just like, what is this? What is this?
And it's
Especially
as if,
since the
and it's as if DC just is like, well, people didn't respond well to Teen Titans Go in terms of the mainstream fans. Kids love it because it's a pretty funny kids cartoon, you know, and a
Yeah, for
huge
like a kid's cartoon, it's funny. It's
huge
funny.
chunk of it is animated here in Halifax.
Yes, I know. Yeah, I found that out recently, actually.
I did a commission for one of the artists. I did a Robin commission for one of the artists that works on the show. But the Titans trailer, like they changed the name on purpose because they're distancing themselves from anything that's remotely kid or youth entertainment based, which is stupid because it's teen. Like the characters are all kind of like Dawson's Creek age for the lack of a better
It's,
comparison. And in the trailer, one of the first things that you hear Robin say is fuck Batman. You know, I mean, pardon my French, I'm gonna have to put an explicit tag on the podcast now, but like you can't get more wrong
You
than
can't. You
that, you
really
know?
can't. And
Now,
it's like it's everyone's making fun of it. It's
yeah,
everywhere.
in a Deadpool movie, totally acceptable because that's what you
Totally
sign up for,
acceptable.
right? Like that's what you expect. But you don't expect cursing from your superheroes, you know?
Robin.
I mean, I would be okay if Robin was the Robin that we all kind of expect. He's kicking butt, he's cracking wise, you know. Robin's essentially Spider-Man, you know, like he's got that kind of that forked tongue when it comes to kicking people's butt, right? He likes to talk while he's doing it. He's the opposite of the stoic, you know, Batman sort of thing. I would be okay if the gangsters and the robbers and the people with the guns were dropping F-bombs. Like, that's fine. That's a little bit more adult, a little bit more realistic. But the whole idea is, you know, you're talking about a guy that runs around in a yellow cape, you know, or yellow under, the cape's got a yellow underside, you know, and it's just like, none of this is supposed to be so real that you have to get like that gritty about it. And I don't know, like,
I mean,
they really missed
Robin
the mark.
does he can get pretty gritty. I mean, like he, at least in the
Yes.
Teen Titans original cartoon, like he kind of was like, you know, there was a lot of debate. It's like, oh, is Robin going dark? Spending a lot of time with like Slade and everything, and it was like
Yeah.
that was a legitimate concern because
Yeah.
like, you know, he kind of does step out of the Robin persona because he feels like he outgrows it, and that's when he becomes Nightwing. But he doesn't lose as he is. Like
Yeah,
Dick Grayson
exactly.
is still Dick Grayson. He's like a wisecracking, funny, like, huh, we're gonna be a dork. Like he's a big old dork essentially. So I
Yeah.
don't know.
And Young
His
Justice is like
characterization is
that too. Like
telling, and
not the new trailer, but the original Young Justice cartoon is an older Robin and he's struggling with leadership and setting example and trying to prove that he's not in Batman's shadow. But he's not a bad guy. He's just trying to be his own man and showing those growing pains of like, you know, that 16 to 20 kind of range of stuff. And this is just like it's just the kind of thing like, well, what happened to escapism in superheroes? Like, I mean, I don't want to watch these characters have all the same problems that, you know, either
I do.
if I was a young man, I wouldn't want to watch all the same problems I'm going through or went through, you know, as a now almost 40-year-old man, like looking back and watching these things, like I don't want to see this. Like you don't have to set it in today. Like, give me a completely dystopian alternate future where it's, you know, Metropolis and I mean, obviously, I know Robin's in Gotham, but like, give me a completely different world as of today and just do something different. And for whatever reason, DC's version of quote unquote different means it can't be Marvel. Like, it can't be colorful or funny or, you know, it can't be action. It has to be dark. Like it has to be Game of Thronesy, you know? And I don't know why they feel like they have to go that way. Like it is working absolutely fine for Marvel and Disney to go the brighter route. You can just do that. Your characters are still different enough that you're not going to look like you're copying, right? So it's one of those things that I think is a real problem, you know, with DC. And it's unfortunate that it's across most of the stuff that I've been seeing. Because I brought up Young Justice. There's a Young Justice Outsiders trailer, which is an animated thing. And I really enjoyed the Young Justice series. If people haven't
Me
seen it,
too.
it's a great animated series.
I love it. I love it.
But the new series does not look fantastic. Like it looks again, it's tackling adult, you know, premise and stuff like that. But again, maybe I'm just not giving it enough time. Maybe, you know, it's going to be aimed as it's going to be aimed at a at an older audience. The thing with these DC trailers that I've noticed is that they're long. The Young Justice Outsiders trailer is 5 minutes. It's a summary of like the first two episodes.
Yeah. Well, no, it was recapping the end of season two as well, because everything that happens in the beginning of that, like that's all like Artemis getting.
I thought it looked familiar. So it is. Oh, okay.
That's all like a recap of season two. So I was really confused when I first watched it. I was like, is this already happened? Like what? Like,
yeah. Am I on the wrong YouTube page?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, like, I feel like I have, DC's really proven that their animated stuff is really excellent.
For the most part.
For the most part. Like, I don't ever, like, you know, shout to the rooftops about how much I love it, but I always, like, walk away from watching anything DC-related and being like, yeah, it was good. That was good. That was a good time.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, I think, I definitely know it ended on a serious note because of Wally. Like, Wally's, we don't know what happened to Wally. Pretty sure he's dead, but we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah.
And it ended at that point. So I think the tone of season three was always going to be a little darker because they're dealing with the loss of Wally. Artemis is going to be upset and, like, you know, being alone now. And then now with the whole, like, metahuman gene and everything, like, I think they're trying to, like, I don't know. I'm kind of reserving judgment, I think, on that one.
Yes, I will give Young Justice the time of day. Like, I will give it 3 to 4 episodes if I can get my hands on it. It's not a Netflix thing anymore. DC is launching their own network, their own subscription service.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, ooh. I was. So I'll have to look up the episode number for the show notes, but it was a recent episode of Daily Tech News Show. I want to say it was last Friday or maybe Thursday. I'm behind, so I'm listening to shows on off days, but it's been within the last 3 to 4 episodes of Daily Tech News Show where they talk about the new DC platform. And here's the thing. It's somewhere in the realm of like $9.99 a month, just like Netflix. You get DC movies, you get DC television content, some of it, because there's a deal with CW there that, you know, they have to kind of share it. You get backlog, so you'll get the first two seasons of Young Justice. You get the new exclusive Young Justice Outsiders. That's going to be just on this DC service. Titans is exclusive to this DC service, similar to how Westworld and Game of Thrones is exclusive to HBO.
Yeah.
But
I have a bit of a beef with that.
Well, but here's the other thing.
I understand everyone having their own service, but
you get DC Comics, and you get a DC social platform. So, and I didn't want to cut you off, but I wanted to add those things. Like, all of a sudden it's like, yeah, I get the sickness of like yet another $10 a month that is replacing my, you know, cable that I canceled 20 years ago. Well, not 20, but like a long time ago.
Yeah.
I don't have the extra money and I can't say that I'm that tempted because the DC movies are not that great. And I've fallen off a lot of the TV shows as well. The comics is tempting. Like being able to access DC back catalog at the same time that I also get to watch whatever. If I feel like watching DC TV, I can do that. If I feel like, nope, I'm just going to go read for 3 hours all for the $10 a month. That's pretty good. Like I can't say it's a bad idea. I don't know whether it's going to be good. There's an excellent discussion on DTNS about it. I really highly suggest people go check out that episode of the Daily Tech News Show. Because they go into more detail because they actually have the story. But it does pique my interest. Can't say that I'm going to go out and subscribe to it, but it does make me want to see, okay, well, once it's out and once I have some friends or some podcasters that are actually using it, what's the 411? Like, is it good? Yeah. Is it accessible? Is it easy? You know, does it work on your iPad and your Android and your, you know, whatever your set-top box is? Like, I mean, how universally accessible is it? And if that's the case, I might look at it just to kind of catch up, because I like my Batman and Superman comics for the most part. I don't find that they're worth the money of individual issues, but if I can sit down and read a whole smash of Batman comics in a weekend for $10 a month, I might do it. You know, like it's an interesting idea. I think that might, you know, it might be something good that they're doing.
Yeah, I'm just, there's so many people, so many companies are doing like their own subscription service now.
Yeah.
Like Disney is doing their
Disney's
own
going to
where
be
they have
spending their
like
stuff
all the
off, yeah.
classic,
The thing
now
is, though, with Disney,
DC.
you get a lot of content.
You do get a lot of content, but like I don't know, I just that's what I liked about Netflix is that Netflix is like the one-stop shop for all of it.
All of it, yeah. Well,
All of
all of
it.
it, if you're in the US. If you're in Canada, it's not really all of it,
Yeah,
but
well, that's like distribution laws and rights and everything, which is stupid.
yeah. Well, and
I
that's the
don't know why
thing, like,
Canada has different distribution laws. We're basically neighbors.
oh, it's really ridiculous. Well, especially because, like, for example, CSGO, not CSGO, that's a video game. CBS Go, I think, is the service in the States. And Star Trek Discovery, which had a new trailer at Comic-Con, which I didn't put in the notes, but that looks really good. But that's the flagship show that is supposed to pull people into that particular service and hopefully hold them there. But all of these companies are doing it with like one or two kind of flagship shows. Netflix has got almost more original content in terms of what I'm seeing here in Canada than of interest to me anyway, than any of the other content that stuff that I've just seen from the regular library of movies. Like as far as the television shows go, I am way more inclined to check out a Netflix original show than I am anything else. So I feel like, you know, things and Star Trek Discovery, the reason I brought that up, Star Trek Discovery in the rest of the world is on Netflix. It's only in North America that it has to be on the CBS, you know, Go app. Anyway, it's eventually the stuff is all going to sort itself out. Unfortunately, we're in the testing slash proving grounds of all these companies, kind of, you know,
We are.
grabbing their yardstick and saying like, how much money can we get of you guys before you're all sick of it, right?
Yeah,
But to move on to
I'm
something
ready
that
to
I
prove
actually
it.
think was pretty positive, and I think you're probably going to be excited, is I quite liked the Aquaman trailer.
Me too. I really did. I also just love Jason Momoa as well. Like, I'm glad that he was cast as Aquaman
He's
because I
growing
think
on me.
Aquaman gets a lot of like, yeah, he gets a lot of Aquaman gets a lot of flack for being like a really boring, useless superhero. He's often said he's like the most useless member of the Justice League because all he can do is talk to fish. But it's like he is really underrated. He's so underrated. Talking to be able to talk to the entire ocean is pretty damn powerful. Like, I don't know. He can, you know, turn great whites on people. One thing I do want to call shenanigans on though is the great white in the in the tank. That is scientifically proven to not be possible. You cannot keep a great white shark in an aquarium because it will just kill everything and then it will bust its way out. They're ruthless. Like, they can't keep one. You can't keep one in there. Like, no aquarium actually has a great white shark in it.
Yeah,
So,
there's
like,
no way that it would be there
calling you out
with
on that
other
one. But
life.
that's like, yeah, that's like the one thing that I was like, not possible. But I mean, it's a comic book movie, so.
I mean, the guy talks to fish. You kind of give them a little bit of leeway. But
Yeah.
it is full of color. The water is
It is.
blue. He's still kind of cut gray and tattooed, but like the lady that showed up, she was in a very green
Matt.
and yellow costume, you know, like when she was in her,
Yeah.
you know, the trident and stuff. They're not just metal. They look like they're golden in color. And
Yes.
when you see the big battle sequences that all happen with all kinds of different marine life, it's all brightly colored, like they're greens and
Yeah.
blues and yellows and stuff like that. And it looks like it's got a lot of action. It looks like
Which is, sorry, like the just the color is really different from like I'm just thinking of like the DC stuff, like the animated stuff. It doesn't look that colorful in the animated stuff. Like, it looks like very gray and like under like underwater. It's like all the color and saturation is kind of pulled out.
Well,
But no, I
and
like how colorful this looks.
the animated stuff recently, unless it's a Superman cartoon, has been mimicking the movies. Anything
Yeah,
Justice League
I've
and the
noticed.
cartoons have been very gray, very dark. Everything always happens at night, you know, or it's a heavy Batman story in case so everything's dark anyway. Just again, because it's always at nighttime. But yeah, I think, I mean, I like Jason Momoa. His Aquaman is growing on me. His Aquaman was definitely the better thing about Justice League. Not that that's saying a lot about Justice League, but like he brings something new, and he keeps that jovial comic booky type thing. Like he's funny, but he's not campy. You know,
And
like
I
it's
think that's just like Jason Momoa as a person too. Like,
you, oh
he's
yeah.
funny,
No,
he's jovial,
he's a
he's
pretty cool
always wanna
dude.
be funny.
Yeah,
He's a little funny.
kind of want to hang out with him. There's a couple funny lines in the trailer too, and something like
redheads. You gotta love them.
Yeah, and he jumps off the plane, and there's another line where someone was giving him either criticism or laying down like, this is what's at stake, and he's just like, that's like the worst pep talk ever. You realize that, you know, like, and it's the kind of moments that you see, like when he sits on the lasso in Justice League, and he starts talking about, yeah, we're all gonna die. This is gonna be terrible. Like it's that kind of shtick. Like he's not making really corny jokes. They're not terrible one-liners. They're just natural conversation pieces. Yeah. So it's better written. The humor looks like it's better written. Hopefully they learned their lesson from Justice League. I was on the fence, but I would probably go see Aquaman in theaters. I was going to hold my buckaroos from DC, but I'm thinking that I might actually go see that.
I'll go see it. Yeah. I'll go see it.
The one that I'm going to skip is probably going to be Shazam.
Wonder
though.
Woman, he's my favorite.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. What did you think about the Shazam trailer?
I actually really like the Shazam trailer. I had a hard time getting my mouth around that one. It actually made me laugh out loud. It did. I didn't expect it to. I don't really know much about Shazam as like a character.
I know mostly from comics, comics and movies. From like movies. When I say movies, I mean like animated stuff. Billy Batson gets his powers from a wizard. So he turns into a superhero, but he's magical. It's one of the reasons why they often pit Shazam and Superman against one another, because Shazam can hold his own because Superman's vulnerable to magic. So, not that Shazam doesn't have his limits. But the thing that I don't understand, which really kind of rubs me the wrong way, which is the only thing that really I didn't like about this trailer, is why they have this guy in this cartoonish padded suit in a live action.
It's not really good.
It's terrible. Terrible. It's I thought when I saw the initial pictures of it like 6 months ago that I thought, yeah, okay, well they need him to be in something for shot blocking or something. And so this is what they're giving him, and, or they're putting him out in this on set because that's not the real thing. And they know that there's going to be people snapping photos and putting it online. So they're going to say, hey, you guys have a field day with this. We're going to save the real costume for later. I would have been perfectly fine. Billy Batson is a 10-year-old or a 12-year-old. I would have been perfectly fine with them just finding
older in this one.
Yeah, well, yes. Okay, so in the comics he's younger, but in this one, yeah, he's more like 14. But still, like, you would have been fine to get an athletic, not necessarily like a bodybuilder, but you would have been fine to get somebody that was in good shape, that would be okay in like essentially a superhero leotard, you know, and put them in it and just let them be. He's magical. Like, he's going to be super strong. Mm-hmm. He's going to be able to fly. It's fine. You know, but here's the thing. Dwayne The Rock Johnson has already been cast as Black Adam.
Yeah.
So you put The Rock as Black Adam in a movie with this doofus in a rubber suit. It just does not even make any sense. So, like, I know he's not in this movie, but it's just one of those things where it's just like, really, you couldn't have just found somebody that was willing to lift weights for 6 months or anything. It just feels really weird. Now, the complete flip side of that is that it is funny. It's quippy. The acting from the kids is good. Like, it's really not good. Cringeworthy. Like, it's got some poignant, funny moments, especially because what I like, and one of the things I do find very amusing about Shazam, is that when he's an adult superhero, he's still 14 in his head.
Yeah.
Like, he still talks, you know.
The last line of the trailer was what made me laugh so much. He's like, hey, sup, I'm superhero. And it was just like, it was real. That was what made me laugh out loud. I was like,
yeah. There's a moment where he gets shot and the bullets bounce off him. He goes, I'm bulletproof. Oh, you guys are dead now. Like, just, you know, like that. It's fun. And it's nice to see that from DC. But at the same time, it's just like you put all this effort into all this wonderful writing in these one-liners and this mood. And the guy that plays him looks like he's got it down. Like, it looks like he's got the right kind of delivery. But then you're just like, but then you look like an idiot in this stupid suit. Like, the TV shows have got better superhero suits. I think I lost Megan. Oh no. At the end of the day, it looks like the Shazam trailer is well written, but looks really off in terms of the suit. Aquaman trailer looks like something I'm going to go see. I am pretty disappointed in the Titans and the Young Justice stuff. I have no idea. But again, like I said, with the DC service, if it comes with comics, it might raise an eyebrow. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. We have been having some, I want to say, technical difficulties. So hopefully everything has come together in the end okay. Curse you, internet, and the silly bandwidth issues that we sometimes face. But this show is brought to you by you. It is directly supported by people on Patreon. If you go to patreon.com/thecitadelcafe, you can find out the best way to actually help us continue to make podcasts. You can also get some exclusive content there. I will release things like a download of the Citadel server for Minecraft players and their kids. I put out special episodes like Barista Cuts, not always about Minecraft. Sometimes it's an extra show like about architecture. You and I did one about architecture one time. So yeah, there's little things like that up on the Patreon page. That's patreon.com/thecitadelcafe. You can find more info about the show and some of the links that Megan and I talked about today at thecitadelcafe.com. Music for the show was composed by Kevin McLeod. You can contact the show at thecitadelcafe@gmail.com or find us by name on Twitter and Facebook. My name is Joel Duggan. You can find everything I am doing online at joelduggan.com. And hey, it is pretty easy to find me on the social networks. It is more often than not just my name. YouTube, Twitch, Instagram, and Twitter. It's all just Joel Duggan. Come say hi, check out the live stream, and let me know what you think of the Minecraft Let's Play video. If that is your normal jam, then I would love some constructive feedback. I'd like to get better at making these videos. Don't forget to tune in to my other podcast, Comics Coast to Coast, where myself, Brian, and Matt interview comic creators. Up this week is Andy Duggan, no relation, about Cyclops, an underwater Cyclops comic. You've been listening to the Citadel Cafe, where we are fast, easy, and cheap, but you can only pick two.